Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
All right, everybody. It's another day of lockdown fun. I hope that you're enjoying yourself. By the way, there's some more interesting parts of the Professor Hinckley piece that I didn't have an opportunity to get to you yesterday, and I want to try to get to it today if we can. But, you know, first, we probably should lead with the story that Kate is sort of laying out her plan for reopening Oregon. Is it realistic? We're going to talk about that and some related stories. Also talk about the Kip Kinkle get out of jail early bill strikes again. Where's the justice? And oh, by the way, apparently, the judge in this case had the opportunity to move this vicious teenage murderer into adult court, but chose not to. And then is decrying how bad it is that didn't like the sentence. What? This is why we have Measure 5, folks. Actually, not that. That's why we had Measure 11. I'm sorry. I'll think better. And finally, Oregon, its non-unanimous jury law gets struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. What does this mean? Seriously, what does this mean for all of these convictions? I mean, hundreds and hundreds of convictions may now have to get retried. Oh, goody. How much fun is that going to be? All of this is what we're talking about today. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or you can send me an email to jeff@1220.am. So I wanted to sort of finish up with a little bit of yesterday's Professor Hinckley piece, which he, you know, came out with on Friday, but then updated on Saturday and then updated on Sunday again, as more stuff becomes available. The question is, does any of this matter to Kate? Because, you know, Kate wants to, well, sort of maybe reopen the state. The Albany Democrat Herald has a story about this today, and it's actually Dick Hughes' story out of the Oregon Capitol Bureau, but it's reprinted in the Albany Democrat Herald. So she held a conference call yesterday afternoon with county commissioners around the state, and especially the rural county commissioners are the ones who are really pushing hard, and they should be, because rural Oregon has been unfairly damaged by something that is a phenomenon that's really pretty much limited to the major urban areas of the state. Now, okay, let's assume that that's accurate and true. Why wouldn't she want to open these things up? You know, like rural hospitals that are having to lay people off. Now, one of the governor's criteria, apparently, is this business about, well, we have to know that we have hospital capacity. And that gets us back to Professor Hinckley's piece yesterday about how we're only using a little over 6% of Oregon's hospital capacity for COVID-19. Now, again, the whole point of a stay-at-home order, a lockdown order, was that it would prevent a surge that would overwhelm the hospitalization system, the medical system of the state. Well, apparently, It isn't. And apparently we have all of this unused capacity. So why wouldn't she want to open up the rural areas of the state? Now, one of the things, of course, that is, and by the way, apparently Chuck E. Schumer has said, we've reached a deal on the small business stimulus, and it should pass today. The thing about this, friends, is that it doesn't matter if they've reached the deal. Folks, the money that they're going to put forward out here will be gone in a week or less. In fact, there's stories about that if you go to OregonWatchdog.com today. There are stories about it that Wells Fargo is getting sued over their PPP lending. There's a new story in Oregon Catalyst that 24 states are reopen ready, except Oregon is not on that list. Small business owners are frustrated by the Paycheck Protection Program loan process, as well they should be. Because that's why Wells Fargo is getting sued, because shortly after they opened up their program, they closed it down. And others... banks, however, went full bore into the program and funded their people. Now, I have a friend who personally has had applied at three different banks, and Wells Fargo being one of them, and was told shortly after they applied that they weren't going to get funding and they weren't going to go forward on their application. And apparently, part of the lawsuit is that these big banks only chose to go after the big accounts that they could get the maximum amount of money for their loan fees. Now, one of the regional banks, and quite frankly, the community banks are the ones who really stepped up to the plate here. And they did for my friend. And they moved heaven and earth to not only get my friend's loan, and he had three loans from three of his businesses. And every one of them were hurting. They moved heaven and earth to get them done. And that was First Interstate Bank. Kudos to them for having done that. Because other banks didn't. You see, he applied at three different banks. And two of them, one of them just slow walked everything, constantly saying, well, we need more. And this story in the Oregonian about a guy who said he was funded by Chase, all of a sudden got a message back and said, oops, they ran out of money. So now we have a second round coming. Now, look, I'm going to tell you this, friends. If you know people who need funding for their small business, frankly, they need to go to their bank. And I'm going to give kudos again to First Interstate Bank. They need to go to those banks and get their application in right now. Get that process started today, because you're going to get another shot at this, but it won't last. It won't last for very long. Why? Because all of these business, the more horror stories we hear about businesses having to shut down, the worse it's going to be. And this is why Kate's reopening plan has to be realistic. But as long as she continues to rely on, quote unquote, science and data, is any of that realistic? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Now, why do I ask that question? Well, because it's a question that you can ask. It's something that you can say in your conversations with other people. Yeah, we need to get Oregon working again. But what's really realistic in that regard? It is Kate's plan for that, something that anybody can count on, especially if part of that plan is having to do with testing. Because apparently there's a lot of tests out there that are, are going unused. Really? Yeah. See, there's a KGW Channel 8 story here about, and its headline is thousands of coronavirus tests are going unused each week. Last week, the governor said there was, well, roughly 9,000 tests being administered per week. Now, what they do is they actually do the math. Now, Dean Seidlinger, the state epidemiologist, is citing the same number that Kate Brown is citing in her reopening plan that says, well, we need to do about 15,000 tests a week. And that's a rough estimate. And he, in the story, KGW says, well, he tossed that number out as one of several boxes that must be checked before it's safe to begin easing restrictions. Consider it checked. The big health system in Oregon.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220.
And then what they do is they start
589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Legacy Health. Providence. Now, the full HSU.
There's a reason I'm going down this road with Kate, and I'll make sense of it all for you as we go along here.
In a moment, we're going to go on 503-589-1220
is the Power of Buick GMC talk line, or shoot me an email to Jeff.
Well, let's do the math.
At 1220.am,
just and then they go like through the math.
Organization, by organization.
You know, I read where the experts,
you know what they
regarding testing,
I read where the experts are saying if you have,
the capacity,
if you've had a flu shot
today,
in the past 10 years,
for 18,000 COVID positive
anyway
per week.
Huh?
And that does not
count. I haven't heard
Listen
that.
To this. It doesn't even count.
But if that's true,
the unused capacity.
Then we
of the private
develop
labs,
a better test.
Like LabCorp and Quest.
And that relates to one of the other stories, by the way, on
and
the show plan.
It also does
the idea that Oregon now is kicking around the idea of
Oregon
let's
State
add into
University,
the official death
University
toll from
of Oregon.
Let's add
and private medical companies
deaths.
Like One Medical, American Family Care, which
I wonder, by the way,
how that will help or
the greater Portland area.
The reopening of the state of Oregon. What do you think?
Let's go
and
to Ron, who's on
question.
The line. Ron, good morning.
The unused
say,
test
my friend?
Pose a big question. Why?
Hey,
why don't more people get tested?
And
awesome.
I'll tell you right now.
Well, Legacy is quotes one of their doctors and said, well, there might be two reasons. First, people have heard for more than a month that there aren't enough tests and that they're hard to get even if you're sick, so many people just give up. The second reason is that maybe that too many people come down with significant respiratory problems on a daily basis. No, folks.
On the other hand,
it's Kate. It's
Kate.
It's the stories about Kate saying, well, we signed a contract for 20,000 tests, but actually she didn't sign the contract until a month later.
She don't care.
And it was only for 10,000 tests.
I believe that
maybe Kate could come out and say to everybody, go get tested. There's lots of capacity available.
Rodeos.
But no, that wouldn't fit Kate's narrative. No, would it?
If they compete high enough, they have to use that money to pay their
Something to think about, isn't it?
Pay the various other people.
So also is your ability to keep your home free of this virus. And that's why you ought to talk to the folks at Freedom Heating and Air. Check them out on the internet, freedomheatingandair.net. They can put these new filtration systems in, especially UV light, and it kills this stuff, folks. Check them out, freedomheatingandair.net. They're one of our great local advertisers. We need to support them. They're there for you when you need them. It's 6:20 in the morning. Back in a moment.
Even Martin Levine, even Hugh Hewitt, even Bryce Cutler, is realizing and listening to doctors, the immunologists, and so many predictors with their models are in joke. They are an economic joke. We can't even get a model talking about tapping brain right. Okay? And yes, you're going to wait till we get enough tests? She created this mess. While other governors, like in South Dakota and Texas, are going ahead and asking for resources to make it happen and using those resources, she is gone, lagging behind, waiting for a master's, Don Corleone, Cuomo, or Inslee before she makes a decision. That's not leadership. That's leading from behind. And she owes the citizens of Oregon the right to exist. Their businesses accordingly. That's all I gotta say.
Thank you, brother, and you're right about that. She owes that to the people. And what I find interesting is that nowhere, at least so far, maybe she's going to figure it out, but nowhere so far has Kate Brown decided that as part of her reopening plan
she's actually going to engage with business and get some advice from them. Don't you find that interesting? I kind of do. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I mean, don't you think that you ought to sort of like maybe kind of talk to the business people rather than rely on, as Ron so adroitly stated, following other political leaders like Gavin Newsom? Now, if you go back to the ProfessorHinckley.com story yesterday, where he talks about how, well, Oregon, Kate, has tied herself to Gavin Newsom's conditions for reopening. That he said in his tweet that he has, well, he's developed six indicators based on science, not politics. Oh, really? And every one of them have nothing to do with business. It's the ability to monitor and protect our communities through testing, contact tracing, isolating, and supporting those who are positive or exposed. The ability to prevent infection in people who are highly at risk. The ability of hospitals and health systems to handle surges. The ability to develop therapeutics to meet the demand. The ability for businesses, schools, and childcare facilities to support physical distancing. Ability to determine when to reinstitute certain measures, such as stay-at-home orders, if necessary. You know what's wrong with all of this? There's nothing concrete here, number one, because it's all about the ability. Huh? Yeah. The word ability is extremely vague, and Professor Hinckley points this out. The reality is, folks, is that this is so nebulous and vague, it can be anything any politician wants it to be. And frankly, this allows Kate all kinds of wiggle room. Because Kate will never take the lead. It isn't who she is, folks. Now, why am I going down this road? Well, we're at the bottom of the hour here in just a moment, and I'll share it with you when we come back, because it is something that you can use to be very persuasive with other people. And it's not just about criticizing Kate. It's about helping people understand what's in their future. And their future depends on their ability to think these things through logically, clearly, and without some emotion, which apparently is how people make decisions these days. One of the things you can do is decide to hire a great contractor, Eric Azor, RighteousRenovations.com. Check him out online. He has very satisfied customers. And you know what? If you're looking at that deck that needs to be replaced and summer's coming, why don't you call Eric Azor? Check him out. Eric Azor, or rather RighteousRenovations.com. Back in a moment at 6:30. Don't go away. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes to the top of the hour, so why would we be talking about all of these little items having to do with actually reopening this state? And why Kate is maybe putting forward criteria that is not achievable. Well, there's a reason. Because there is a way that you can use this to persuade the persuadable, because you know people who are maybe on the fence. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a momento. In fact, we're going to go back to the phones, 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. If you are at home, by the way, and, you know, a lot of people are, and you're, well, you're involved in those do-it-yourself, you know, home projects. You know, you got the remodel going on, but stuff is piling up. Like debris. Maybe you're just cleaning up, you know, from a long winter and you got yard debris. Why don't you take it to Clayton Ward Recycling? You know, they've been around for 50 years. It's a family-owned business. They're right off of the Salem Parkway and Mainline Drive. They accept all kinds of stuff that maybe you're doing. In fact, some of this they don't even charge you for. But you know what's cool about it? You get to go there, and there's fast, friendly service. It's easy to unload. Clayton Ward Recycling. Again, off the Salem Parkway, Mainline Drive. They're open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, Saturday, 7 to 3. Maybe just give them a call. 503-393-8700. 393-8700. That's Clayton Ward Recycling. Let's go to Art, who's on the line. Art, good morning. How are you, friend?
So did you miss me yesterday, Jeff?
Of course.
My goodness. Yeah. I since you were off on the AM, I thought you were off on the FM, so I didn't even look over there. Found out about it last night. But anyways, to make a long story, well, first let me say kudos for the Republican Party of Oregon trying to urge Kate to open up rural Oregon. Of course, she's not going to listen because her base is happy. They're all at home, working, getting paid, while the rest of our state goes down the toilet. Restaurants and hospitality, which has been a key to a successful Oregon, is going down the toilet, and a lot of these businesses are just not going to recover, Jeff, and it's a real shame that Kate doesn't care about it, because she could be opening these businesses right now. Other states are, and she just don't care.
So Florida is out opening their beaches, right? You know, Ron DeSantis did that. And by the way, their stay-at-home order has only been in place 2.5 weeks before they reopened their businesses. Why? Because they were already past the curve, just like in Oregon. But our beaches are still closed. Our state parks are still closed. A lot of our local county trails, Art, are still closed to people to actually go out and successfully enjoy nature, get some exercise, deal with the lockdown from a mental health standpoint, and not infect anybody else or not get infected themselves. It's stunning, and you're right about this. If other states are doing it, why aren't we?
Well, Jeff, because we got poor leadership, and quite frankly, I think Kate's very, very happy that our freeways are bare. We aren't polluting the air because this is going to help climate change, Jeff. So she's just tickled to death about those kind of things. I think it's Georgia. Friday, they're opening up bowling alleys, beauty
restaurants, shops, hair salons,
all those kind of things. And Jeff, we could be doing the same dang thing. We know how to protect things. We know how to do it right. But Kate won't let us do it, and it's a crying shame, and that goes to show that all she cares about is her power, and she don't care about the little guy. And quite frankly, I listened to Attorney General Barr today on another talk show talk about our constitutional rights and how the states should not infringe on them. And you know what, Jeff? Kate is infringing on our rights. Hey, we have the right to examine the risk and go to a restaurant if we want
to. That's right.
We have the right to assess the risk. You know, Jeff, I risk my life every day by, and I'm a part of society. I grab my cane and I go out in public, and I could get hit by a car that I don't see. However, it doesn't stop me from being a part of society. We all have risks. This virus is a risk. But let us make the decision on what we want to do and open up America again.
Well said, friend. Got to let you go because I need to move on to Rebecca in a moment. But to back up what he just said here, friends, the piece by the Oregon Taxpayers Association, and it's on OregonWatchdog.com, is this chart, and it's a screenshot from Fox News, that shows these states that are ready to enter phase one reopening. And again, the reason we're going down this road is to give you things that you can use and say to other people in your sphere of influence to persuade the persuadable. So consider this. We're not on this list, even though we are one of five states that have the lowest deaths per capita. The lowest. One of five states with the lowest. Oregon has a, here's another one. Oregon has a surplus of ventilators. We're sending them to other states because we don't need them. We have spare testing capacity. We just went over that, right? We have the ability to test far more than what Kate is saying is one of her criteria. We have not even begun to use the state's bed capacity in hospitals. Not even 7% is being used with people who are hospitalized as a result of COVID-19. And the trend line is down because we reached the bell curve a long time ago. And if you go back and you read the Professor Hinckley, folks, the charts are there for you to see. You don't have to believe me. Read them for yourself. These are facts. Now, again, there are people that are persuadable out there. And what your goal is to pose questions or make statements like, why isn't Oregon reopening if other states are opening their beaches with far more people on their beaches like Florida? Why aren't we doing that? If other states can open their restaurants, if other states can open their hair salons, boy, you want to get personal with people, talk about their hair or their nails, especially with women. Although I have to say I'm starting to look pretty shaggy myself. But make that point. If other states have not even been as restrictive as Oregon with the lockdown and haven't hurt their economies, and don't have any higher infection rate, hospitalization rate, or death rate, why aren't we opening up? Why isn't Kate doing that? That then leads to a discussion as to why. And there's more on that. We'll get to it, but I promise I'd get to Rebecca. So, Rebecca, good morning. How are you, and what do you say?
Good morning. The people call them the left, but I like to call them communists because there's been so many communists who have overcome countries and taken down the countries into the depths of despair, just like communists always do. And communism is a really good word because it's a true word. But the left has done this to us many, many times. This is only one of the scenarios that they've given to us and demanded that we consider it to be truth and shut down people who speak another way. Yesterday, Mark Levin had so many doctors and epidemiologists and people of high repute on his program to testify that this is that what we're doing is not scientific. It's just something that was handed to us to look at a certain way, and we must look at it a certain way. And they've done this to us repeatedly. They did it to us with the creation debate, and people can be fired from their jobs for just bringing evidence to the table that destroys the evolutionary proposal that we must all accept. They gave us the transgender thing. People get fired for bringing something to the table that shows that boys are boys and girls are girls.
Well said, Rebecca. This is all leading to a place that is not good. Are we going to stand for our liberties? Do we want ourselves to be locked down at the next pandemic? Or can we learn from it?
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. So, let's think about this. You know, Professor Hinckley's piece from Friday asks a profound question. How much of this can we endure again? If this happens again, are we going to lock our society down and destroy our economy again? You know, Kate is facing a tsunami of bad news. Because you know what? If you're shutting down as much business as has been shut down with as many people, I mean, you know, tomorrow's Thursday, we'll get the unemployment numbers again, the first time people filing for unemployment. It's going to be huge. All of that translates to less revenue to state government. We can't borrow our way out of it. We can't print money like the federal government can. So Kate's going to go hat in hand to Trump and ask for more money, ask for a bailout. New York is already doing it, and you know that's what's coming, don't you? But it won't be enough. And it won't be enough, by the way, to pay for the PERS problems. And it won't be enough to pay for the fact that Kate is not really going to want to downsize the unions that give her money for her political campaigns and Democrats to stay in control. So if business is going to be permanently harmed this time, can we handle doing it again? What if it comes back this fall? Are we going to give in to the hype again? Are we going to give in to computer models that sadly convinced Trump that if we did nothing, 2 million people were going to die? In the postmortem of this, and there will be one, we're not only going to ask that question, but hopefully sane, rational people will say, this wasn't any worse than the flu, even though it's more aggressive than the flu. Hospitalizations, every bit of data. This is my prediction to you. And it's easy to make this prediction because all you have to do is look at the data today. every bit of data is going to show us that this really ultimately was no worse than a bad flu season. Now, it doesn't diminish the fear. It doesn't diminish the fact that we are not, nobody's wanting to go around out there and infect other people, right? Unless you're mentally unstable. But the reality, friends, is this. We have to ask ourselves this question. Can we endure this again? What if it happens again? When is the next Chinese-inspired virus going to hit us? And how do we deal with it? Do we shut down our economy again? Do we get fearful and overhyped and shut down our schools again? Do we put up with a lack of leadership from our governor, who is roundly criticized? And again, these are things, these are questions you can ask. You can pose people in conversations on social media. What happens when we do this again? Are we going to put up with it? Are we going to stand for the loss of individual liberties? Like a governor arbitrarily choosing what businesses are essential and which ones are not. The purpose of this show, my friends, is to help you, each of you, think about these things, to give you the thoughts and the words that help you persuade persuadables, to get other people to be thinking about it. Believe me, everybody is. There's no question about it. It's impacted all of us. This is why, I mean, I'm quite serious when I say this, friends. I have not yet received my $1,200 gift, whether it's with Donald Trump's signature on it or electronically. I hope you have. And if you have, I truly want you to consider spending it with some of our great advertisers. Like companies like ProBioscience. They produce great CBD products. In fact, I took some of their products this morning when I got up. I didn't sleep on my neck very well. And I woke up with a lot of tense muscles and a headache. And I took half a dropper full of CBD tincture under my tongue. And I immediately, within 2 to 3 minutes, the pain lessened and started to go away. I mean, that's what it does for me. Maybe it can help you. And I truly think that you should consider buying your CBD products, whether it's the hand sanitizer, whether it's CBD products for your pets, because it, believe me, it helps pets as much as it does human beings. Or just yourself, the creams or the tinctures. Check out probioscience.com. It's pro-bioscience.com. If you buy products from them, please be sure you put in the code SPRING for this month, for the month of April. SPRING. When you do, you get a 15% discount. Pro-bioscience.com. It is incredibly important, friends, that we stand up. Jim wrote me a great email and said, I remember the George W. Bush said, I'm the decider days. This whole open up the country movement is challenging the decisions of governors and the president. People are saying freedom over fear. I get where they're coming from. We had the shutdown happen overnight, and now the governors want to open things up incrementally. I get that, too. Governors don't want the virus infections to rebound. I don't think anyone does. But you have a population that is willing to take that risk, just like Art said. That group is saying, this is right for me, and you need to look out for yourself. If they get sick, so be it. But if I'm out among them doing what's essential for me and I get sick, well, that was my choice. And I have to accept the consequences just as they will if they become sick too. Again, this issue is not going away. I didn't get to the unanimous jury decision, that system being struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court today. And I also didn't get to the Kip Kinkle get out of jail early bill,
which has let a vicious teenage murderer go into the Oregon Health Authority and get out in about 10 years. There's no justice there. There's a way to talk about those things, and maybe we'll get to that tomorrow, friends, but I'm not entirely sure what happens overnight. Hopefully the small business loan program is going to get refunded in the next couple of days. And if you have a business that's been shut down, I urge you to get on the stick. Don't delay. This round of money won't last long either. Stacey Ann's up next with Good Morning Salem. Make it a great day, friends. See you tomorrow.